Today on the Inland Journal podcast, the first of our conversations with the two candidates running for Spokane City Council in the Northwest District. Today we talk with Andy Rathbun, who's challenging the incumbent Karen Stratton. Rathbun originally filed to run for mayor, but changed his mind and decided to run for a council seat instead. We first aired this interview in July.
I have been in Spokane my entire adult life. I came here with the military, the Air Force. I grew up in the region down in Richland, went to Washington State University, got commissioned as a second lieutenant upon graduation, and went to flight school. I became a navigator. I did well enough at flight school to get my first choice, first base assignment, which was Fairchild Air Force Base, flying KC-135s. Came here in 1989, and I've been here my entire career of over 30 years. I never had to move. I was with the active duty, the 92nd Bomb Wing at the time, because we had B-52s and KC-135s from 1989 to 1997, and then I transferred straight across the street to the Washington Air National Guard flying the same equipment, KC-135R model tankers. Since I was a navigator, I was replaced by GPS and technology and computers. It was a dying career field. It's a lost art. But I was able to transfer into another airplane that the Washington Air National Guard flies, which is a surveillance aircraft. It's a RC-26. And so I flew that for the second half of my career. We assisted law enforcement with that. I've done numerous tours to Iraq and Afghanistan with that airplane. And we also did lots of humanitarian and disaster relief type efforts with that airplane. And also, over the last few years, we developed it to help work with the wildfires in the western regions of the United States, where we're able to assist the incident commanders and put streaming video into their command center to see what's going on with the fires as they were happening live. And they were able to make decisions with that information. So anyway, I've been all over the world, all over the United States during my career, but always firmly grounded in Spokane, where I've been very community-oriented. I've been always involved with the neighborhood council, and I was previous chair and vice chair over the years.
Which neighborhood?
This is the West Central. I live in West Central. Okay. And then I've also been involved with the West Central Community Center. I was on the board of directors for over 24 years, and 20 of those years I was the vice president, and I helped to build that center up to what it is today. We did an expansion project 15 years ago that I was very involved with to double the footprint of that facility, and I worked on the fundraising, the planning, and saw through construction to completion, and that community center helps not just West Central, but is a very wonderful asset for the entire city.
So why is it time to be on the council?
Well, because of my community service, I think this is a natural progression. I'm retired from the military now. My wife and I, Melody, we raised three daughters successfully. They're all married and out of the house. They have their own children now. We're proud grandparents of three beautiful grandchildren. And I have the time to do this now. I want to represent the Northwest neighborhoods.
So let's talk about the issues that are most important to you and the reason why you got in the race.
I'm concerned about the safety of Spokane. I've lived here my entire adult life. My wife was born and raised here. My grandchildren are going to be raised here. I want this to be the place where families can raise children safely, and I want to be able to be sure that we have growth, but controlled and decisive growth.
Any particular issues within public safety that you're most drawn to?
I've been doorbelling a lot. I've done over 1,000 homes already. And I'm hearing from a lot of people that they're not comfortable going downtown. We've invested so much in our downtown, and it's, we've got some problems downtown that are affecting businesses. Businesses are the lifeblood of the city. I'm very pro-business, and I can remember when I went to Washington State University and I'd come up to visit Spokane in the 80s, I can remember it was a ghost town downtown, and we can't afford to go backwards. This is too beautiful of a city, and I don't want it to go backwards.
Does the city need to spend more money on policing, or how, what are your thoughts about the ways to go forward?
Probably not more money, but I think we can get smarter with technology to help control problems, graffiti, crime, make people feel safer. I think we can use technology to address these issues and spend money smarter.
So how did you vote on last year, when, or I guess earlier this year, 2018, 2019?
I did vote.
The city property tax increase.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't like that that came before the voters kind of as an emergency issue, because that was, from my understanding, there was a grant that funded those positions. And
the firefighting positions.
Yeah, and they knew that the grant was going to expire, and I think there could have been more thought going into the budgeting cycle to provide for that instead of bringing that to the voters as an emergency situation. I almost felt as if my arm was being twisted, and I voted definitely for it because we were in a situation where we needed and had to have that.
If you had gone without the property tax increase, you would have had to go to the general fund to increase money for. What would you have? What were the trade-offs? What would you have taken away in order to be able to get more the money to fill that grant money for the firefighters?
Well, that's just it. I think it became an emergency situation, and I'm not for raising taxes to do that. I think just going through the normal, knowing that was going to occur and going through the normal budget cycle, they could have made some adjustments somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but I think that's how it should have been handled instead of becoming a fire drill, an emergency action.
Yeah. So how do you think the city has handled the homelessness situation over the last year or two?
Well, I've been talking to a lot of entities, agencies, nonprofits, faith-based. There is a lot of people. This is a very compassionate city. There are so many people working on this issue. And I think the city needs to play to the strengths of all these agencies. I don't think we should be polarizing this model's better than that model. We need them all. And I think we need to maybe have more coordination and play to all these agencies' strengths and be result-based. There's several of these agencies, the Guardians for one, they focus in on the homeless veterans, and they're doing wonderful work, as are so many of these different agencies. I think coordination to play to all these agencies' strengths might be something that the city could do better at, and then based on results and where we're getting effective treatments and going after the root causes of the homeless problem. I mean, we have there's no one solution. That's why this is awesome, because all these different agencies have their best efforts in different areas, and we need to maybe have some more coordination. We need to get an office in the city to specifically help coordinate, and then funnel our money through there. But there's so many different reasons. I mean, there. if people fall on hard times, I think they're and just need a hand up, getting back on their feet. Those are some of the easiest to take care of. But where we have addictions and mental health issues, we have to get these people housed and off the streets, but we need to go after their and rehabilitate their addictions and get them medicated if they have mental problems that are the cause of their homelessness or not being able to function in society.
Is that the role of the city to pay for that, or does it work with private entities? How do
well, the private the more the model here in Spokane is the private entities are doing this mainly, but the city is also throwing a lot of money towards this. And that's why I think we need to have a more of a coordinated effort, a department possibly, that works directly day in and day out with all these agencies and services to help with this problem. One of the models that I like very much that I've talked with is a Frontier Mental Health Program. They've got a pilot program going on, and I think we need to bolster this. They put a mental health professional in with teams of police, fire, sheriff's department when they go in contact these people, and they're able to save a lot of time and money because being a professional, they can assess people very quickly and get them and have a in with all these different services and get them directly to where they need to go if they will go and help them that way, saving times of the emergency services officers, the police and the fire. They don't have to spend time at the hospital with them. They don't have to take them to jail. They can get them to immediate services and save lots of time and money. And I think this program needs to be bolstered, and I think we could definitely partner with programs like this that are results-based and making a big difference.
Because of the magnitude of this problem, does the city need to spend more money, or do you figure the city's, you know, the checkbook is already open enough?
That is the question. As far as the money, we're, again, I don't know the exact figures we're spending, but I think if we targeted it to more of a results-driven orientation instead of just throwing money at the problem, I think we'd have more satisfaction on the way it's spent.
We're talking with Andy Rathbun, who's running for a Spokane City Council seat in the Northwest District. Well, let's move to another aspect of that, and that's housing. I mean, Spokane has grown in terms of the number of places where low-income housing can be, but it's still a pretty tight rental market. What is the role of the city in expanding housing, not just at low income, but workforce
and
other areas?
We definitely have a housing crisis. I mean, we're feeling the effects is still left over from the Great Recession when builders stopped building and the trades all went out of business. And the numbers of people never stopped growing. And so we are way behind the power curve now. We cannot build fast enough. We need houses at all levels, but particularly there is a very much a shortage of low-income housing. I've seen the statistics on it. We need to incentivize. We need to build, first of all. And I, as a matter of fact, have a son-in-law. We have the schools with the training. The baby boomers are retiring. We need skilled trade laborers. And my son-in-law just became an electrician, and he's very excited. He's moved out of the service industry to a career that he absolutely loves already. He's an apprenticed electrician and loving every minute of it. We need to get these. We have the ability to bolster our economy, and we need to build. We need to build up throughout the city. We need to do it smartly. We need to incentivize with either through permitting processes or tax abatements to provide more of the lower or affordable housing, because we absolutely need it. Smaller, infill throughout the city is definite. I've been saying that for years. We have to build up because we really don't have the sprawl to move out. That's about where we're at there.
Well, speaking of building, there are talks going on in the community now about whether or not a new jail needs to be built or a renovation of the current jail or some form of that. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, this is an issue that's been going on for a very long time. It's a proverbial can that's being kicked down the road and maybe once in a while gets stuck in a pothole. But our facility is unsafe right now. It is overcrowded. It has been for a long time. It was built in the mid-80s. It was identified as being overcrowded in the mid-90s. We expanded facilities by renovating some 1960s-era dormitories that were owned by the Air Force out at Geiger to alleviate the space problem, but it was soon also overcrowded. We absolutely have to do something about this. Even if we had, I'm not a corrections expert at all, but friends that I've talked to in the industry say we need a better booking facility, first of all. Our current facility that I'm looking at right now, it's beyond being renovated because it's so crowded right now. We need more space. We need at least something. I don't believe we should have a separate facility for the city. This is a county and city issue. We joined together with the county long ago for cost savings effectiveness, and I think a separate city facility would be the wrong way to go. It's going backwards. We need to have a better booking facility and some more space somewhere so that we can maybe take a look at doing better renovations to our jail. But in the meantime, even if we had a plan and we had the money and we started it, it's still several years away. That's if we had all that right now. So we're still in a crisis. We have to do something. We need to, I like the community court system that we're affecting in the city. This is, we need to bolster that one. We could probably double down on that. That takes the lesser offenses, the rinky-dink stuff out of the system, immediately taking care of those issues. It not only alleviates the jail, it also alleviates the court system. And I think we can do more with electronic monitoring, using technology again to alleviate space in the interim. But we do, I mean, if we had facilities that were inadequate for our schools, people would be screaming and we'd be fixing it. Same situation here. We have to fix the jail. We're beyond passing the buck and kicking the can down the road. We've got to do something about this.
The community's been asked a lot of money and for schools and for Riverfront Park and for other things. Are they ready for another $300 or $400 million for a jail?
Again, I don't know that we need a brand new jail. We need additional structure somewhere close to work in tandem with what we have right now, I believe.
Others have said we're better off having it on the West Plains. Do you have a preference between the two sites for a correctional complex?
I don't. See, then we have all this transportation issues. I believe they made good decisions back in the 80s to put it where it is. We need to have those West Plains for industry. I've always been of the persuasion, we need jobs, jobs, jobs. We need industry, high-tech, high-paying jobs so we can float all boats here in Spokane. We have the labor force. We have the education system to train that labor force. We have a hospital system that is better than anything else in the whole United States. We have amenities and recreation here. This is the most beautiful place. I've been all over the world and all over the United States, and I would not live anywhere else. But we need to market ourselves, I believe, as not just the city, the county, but the region. We need to include all the way to the Coeur d'Alene and sell ourselves, because if we can include ourselves all the way to Coeur d'Alene, we're a million plus population base, and that's what Fortune 500 companies are looking for when they're wanting to relocate their and grow their businesses. They want to have a population base that's educated and can work for them and help them out. And we have the space. That West Plains is just a gem. We have to market that and get the jobs so that we're not just a service economy. We need industry here. And that's what I want for my grandchildren. I want to keep my grandchildren here.
Andy, were there issues that I didn't ask you about that were important to you that you wanted to talk about in our last few minutes?
Oh, that was a big one right there.
That was the big one. Yeah,
that was a big one. Now, I've been very involved in my community the whole time I've been here, my career of over 30 years. I've been very involved in the West Central community. Going back to when I got my first house, we had a crime problem in West Central, and I got out and reinvigorated our block watch. I did it not just for my block, but several blocks surrounding me. I went, got out and talked to neighbors and knocked on doors and got everybody talking to each other and watching out for each other. And we were able to solve our problems. And then we had earth-shattering event happened in shortly after that in the early 90s, where two little girls were abducted, Rebecca West and Nikki Woods. Their bodies, they went to home school where my daughters went. They were abducted and their bodies were found in Riverside Park, and that was an earth-shattering event that banded the neighborhood together. We started forming meetings at the West Central Community Center, and out of a grassroots effort I was very much a part of, we were able to get the COPS program, the community-oriented policing substations, started. We had to convince the city council. I talked before the city council back then in the early 90s and argued our points. We talked to Chief Magnin at the time and convinced him that the police model then was just police driving around in patrol cars and going to calls for service. We needed a beat cop, is what we told him. We needed somebody that knows the community and can be tied to the community and help to affect crime in our community. And we convinced him so well that when he retired, he went out and traveled the nation and made a whole nother career out of promoting this system. And we were lucky at the time, too, to have Bob Leip, who was a store owner. He had a vacant building, and he was able to donate, and that's what became COPS West, the very first substation. My involvement with that then led me to be getting on the board of directors of the community center, and I've been part of the neighborhood council and vice chair. And when I was chair, we actually got the West Central Neighborhood Council a 501(c)(3) status, nonprofit, because we knew over the years that we're going to lose this HUD funding, and we thought we would be able to apply for grants and get projects accomplished through grassroots efforts without government funding. And we've done a little bit of that, but not to the extent that we really would like to, just it's people are busy with their daily lives and can't always be involved. But now that I'm retired, I'm ready to serve further and represent. And I will do my homework and talk to people and represent the neighborhoods.
Andy Rathbun is running for the Spokane City Council in the Northwest District. He's challenging Karen Stratton, who's running for a second term. On tomorrow's podcast, we'll hear from her. Most of our full interviews with the candidates for Spokane City office are available for listening anytime on the Spokane Public Radio website. We're adding one interview a day. You can click on the Regional News tab and then click on Election 2019 or go to the Inland Journal page. Or you can get them by subscribing to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.